This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Let me just ask Dennis Cox, who is the producer of this program, before we even get to the housekeeping. Without giving it away, are you already looking forward to tomorrow's show?
Yes. Very much looking forward to tomorrow's show.
Man, we have to get through this one first.
We do.
I think we'll have some fun. Will Brinson will be here. We'll talk about the future of college athletics with Tom McMillan, who was an All-American at Maryland, played in the NBA, was a three-term U.S. representative to Congress, Rhodes Scholar, all of that. And is very much interested in the immediate future of college athletics in the age of name, image, and likeness. We'll talk with him. And we'll also check in on some college baseball stuff with Aaron Fitt. All right, very quickly, the housekeeping. Not only can you hear us on the radio from all the way in the mountains to the ocean, but you can watch us on the TV. So we're on, if you're local to the Raleigh area, a couple of ways you can get us, 34.1 on an antenna and 1257 Spectrum cable channel. We're all the way up there in the 1257s.
Yes.
Because that's where they save people that look like me on TV. You can also watch us on Fire, Roku, Apple, Android TV. Just get the WRAL Sports Plus app. Or it might just be a WRAL app and Sports Plus. But it's all there. I don't even understand any of it. So we got a lot of things to discuss today. We got the NBA Finals. We've got the NFL. There's some NFL things we need to get to. Mandatory mini camps are this week.
Uh-oh.
Yes. So all of the players who skipped out on OTAs, who will also skip out on mandatory mini camps, then people will really get mad, even though no games will be played for 4 months.
Well, they can be fined for missing mandatory camps.
Yes, and all of them can afford the fine.
Pretty much.
Everybody who is skipping out on these mandatory mini camps can afford the fine. They are simply not deterrents. But we got a lot of things to do, so we should start, right? In a regional that had about a billion runs scored, we play the highlight of Vance Honeycutt robbing Georgia of a home run.
It's a big one,
in a one-run game in the ninth inning. Carolina needed that, because otherwise, if they don't get that, they don't get a chance to squash VCU yesterday in the second game of the day, and they don't get a chance to play VCU again today. And we'll explain what's interesting about that, other than it's a game to advance to a super regional. But we'll tell you what's interesting about that in a minute. By the way, there's also good baseball. That's the Division I baseball tournament. There's great baseball being played at the Division II championship tournament, which is entirely in Cary right now.
Okay.
So if you are listening here in Raleigh or surrounding areas, or if you're in Greensboro or in Wilmington or Asheville and you want to hustle it down to Cary, there is great baseball being played there as well. Two ACC teams are already through to the Super Regionals. Notre Dame will travel to Knoxville to take on the top seed, Tennessee. Virginia Tech will advance. They're just awaiting to see who they play. North Carolina can get there today with a second straight win over Virginia Commonwealth, 6 o'clock tonight. Meanwhile, East Carolina will host Coastal Carolina at 1 o'clock. So that game, we're, about an hour away from first pitch.
Yeah.
Carter Spivey will be the pitcher today for the Pirates. Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely.
Good. So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people I've seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value, or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. Real quick about that game before we get to the Tar Heels. ECU-UVA, I'm going back a few games now. That was a great winner's bracket game Saturday. It's 4-2. Virginia gets, I believe they got their leadoff man on in the... it was top of the ninth. The home team isn't always the home team, right?
Yeah.
So I believe East Carolina was might have been the bottom of the ninth, to be honest. East Carolina might have been the road team. I honestly don't remember this at this point. I mean, both teams had white pants on, so just confuse me, will you please? Anyway, so ECU UVA is in the ninth inning. It's a 4-2 game. Pirates on top. Leadoff man's up. Pitching change. And now we're real confused because we clearly have an infielder who wasn't warming up in the bullpen coming out of the bullpen, running onto the field. And the shortstop is coming into pitch. Zach Agnos, shortstop turned stopper, came in and looked a little wild. I think he walked his first guy. And anyway, there were some issues early, but ultimately he got out of it. And he threw some nasty pitches, and I mean he pitches, so not a total big deal, but it was just interesting to see that in today's college baseball, we don't see nearly as much of players doing both. We don't see nearly as much as we used to of players who are position players but also pitch. We just don't. It just has been something that we've sort of aged out of, I guess, as specialization has hit everywhere. We just don't see as much of it. Anyway, East Carolina brought in the shortstop. Zach Agnos did a great job. And we are where we are, even though ECU did get pummeled by Coastal Carolina yesterday to set up today. ECU had a chance to end it yesterday, did not. So we'll have a game today at 1 o'clock with the Pirates and the Chanticleers for the right to advance. As for the Tar Heels, a wild weekend. Wilder than Scott Forbes would have wanted. Of course, he didn't see all of it. So here's the deal. Second game of the tournament for Carolina. They're in the winner's bracket. And they win their first. They're in the second game of the tournament. And it's early in the game, and there's a pop fly. Runners on first and second, and one out. And there's a little bloop hit back out over the pitcher's mound. And second baseman comes in, makes a sliding attempt, doesn't catch it. Hits his glove, but falls to the ground. He then throws to second for one, because remember, he dropped the ball. Second for one, first double play out of the inning. Scott Forbes wanted an infield fly rule. And when he didn't get it, and it was a gray area, when he didn't get it, he argued, got tossed, and then there was, I thought, an umpire-initiated bump, and then all of a sudden, they just, like, the umpire flashed up a two, and I don't even know what that means, so I need the two guys in the booth to explain it. That means a two-game suspension. I'm like, wait a second. We just bounced the skipper for two games? For that? So he missed all of Sunday. He missed the win over Georgia, and he missed the win over VCU to get them to this game. Mm-hmm. So it's just a complete utter joke that you would do that, especially Was Forbes on the field too long arguing? Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever.
I thought the ejection was justified.
Well, first of all, I think the umpires got the call right. Like, I know you think that it's that it's an infield fly rule, but an infield fly rule is for a routine play. That was not a routine play.
Mm-hmm.
He came in to make a sliding catch. Not a routine play. Whether he dropped it intentionally or not, I can't tell you. But it wasn't routine. So, like, you see infield fly rules when the ball's in the outfield. If the infielder gets back in plenty of time and is under it, they'll call the infield fly rule. So, I actually think the umpires got that call right. The rest of it, they completely screwed up. And I can't explain why that is. We'll talk to Aaron Fitt about that a little bit later on. In any case, here's UNC pitching coach Bryant Gaines on the ejection.
You know, we've been through a lot of difficult games and situations and circumstances over the course of the year, so I felt like our guys did a really good job responding to all of that. And I think that's why we made it really close at the end, because we've been through those situations before, and I felt like, and I know our players felt like, we were still going to win the game till the final last out, till the last out was made. So you got to move on quickly. And I thought we did a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, you did.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
Carolina and VCU tonight at 6 o'clock. Again, we'll talk more college baseball with Aaron Fitt in just a little bit.
Ahead to Poole at half with two. Poole's going to shoot a deep three, and he hits it just inside a half court. 23-point lead for the Warriors. End of three quarters.
That third quarter was just unbelievable. Let's talk a little hoops with my man Brendan Whitted at HU Cosell on Twitter, part of the League Pass Lair. And he's hogging up all the airtime, and I appreciate your time, especially on short notice. You and I talked on Friday about this series after game one on Thursday. And we talked about how Boston got these great performances from Derek White, who played, I thought, very well again yesterday. Marcus Smart, Al Horford, neither of those guys contributed anything offensively. And we thought, man, if Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown just get their stuff together, this series is going to be more problematic for Golden State. As it turned out, Jason Tatum got right. He was great. But Golden State figured something out, even without Klay Thompson. Steph Curry didn't get off to the same start, but he was pretty doggone good. But they got Jordan Poole, and I thought Andrew Wiggins gave him a lot as well. What did you see?
They were more aggressive defensively. And part of that was just the Draymond Green talked about it after the game, setting a tone defensively, like turning it up early. We mentioned Horford and Marcus Smart and Derek White and how well they shot. Yes, they shot well, but they were also getting some wide open looks. Like, they were getting clean looks. And even for, you know, average to below average 3-point shooters, if you give them those kinds of looks, those kind of practice 3-pointers, and you do it consistently, you're going to get burned. So in the first game, they combined for 65 points on 22 of 34 shooting, right? And so and when I came on, I was like, there is not a chance in the world that is ever going to happen again.
Right.
And it kind of and it came a little bit, it regressed back to the mean. So they went after going for 65 in the first game, they go for 16 points on 6 of 33 shooting. And part of that is the fact that you talked about Tatum, and I talked a little bit on Friday about, I thought they overhelped a little bit on him, and he made them pay 13 assists in that first game. So yes, Tatum shot the ball much better and was a better scorer, but only had four assists this game and four turnovers. And so, like, yes, he scored more, but I think that Golden State is willing to live with Tatum having those big games. Brown contributed 17, took a lot of shots to get there. They're willing, I think, to have them play that way. If you're giving guys open three-pointers, you're going to lose. You know what I mean? You can't just give an entire team open looks. And so if it's between, hey, Tatum might go for 30, but you're going to keep the assist down, and Brown might go for 20-plus, but he's going, you know, it's going to be inefficient in doing so. I think they're much more willing to do that than to give complete free rein to everybody else.
One of the things that you and I talked about on Friday, you and I both agreed if Gary Payton is available, DNP coach's decision, and he didn't play, well, then he's not really available.
Right.
Don't we look like idiots today? Because you and I were on board with the same thing, because I thought Boston got off to a pretty good start in this game. They were ahead by, I don't know, 8 or so points. And then I thought Curry was basically the only starter left on the court. Actually, Looney was still on the court. So Curry and Looney are the only guys out there. They bring in Payton. There was a bunch of guys that, like, where's the offense coming from if it's not named Curry? And the answer was Curry. But their defense at that point completely changed. Draymond could talk about, you know, setting the tone. I thought the tone was set when Clay and Green and Wiggins were all on the bench.
Well, look, you brought up a great point with Gary Payton, because I wasn't sure how healthy he would be. Like, he missed a lot of time. He played 25 minutes last night. It was a plus 15 in 25 minutes, by the way. I mean that's shocking. You know, we go from 0 to 60 like that. And keep in mind, you mentioned how well the Celtics started. That was a one possession game at halftime. So the Boston shot 10 of 19 from three. They were again very, very good from three. They were 15 of 37 from three. Like, they still shot it well.
That was all Jason Tatum. Right? Tatum was 5 of 6 in the first half.
They were absolutely cooked, but like, eventually, you had to have somebody else kind of step up. You're talking about, you know, Golden State. Where is your other offense going to come from? What's going to come from the Celtics if these guys, if Marcus Smart and Horford and White aren't allowed to just completely have free reign? And so I thought it was also interesting, Golden State incorporated more high pick and roll stuff. They love that motion offense, and so they don't do a ton of high pick and roll because it can make you predictable as an offense. If the defense, particularly defense, is as talented as Boston's, if they know where you're initiating and how you're going to initiate every single possession, it can get a little stagnant even with talented players. But basically what Kerr did was like, nah, we just want more Curry. Which is, you know, solid coaching. You know what I mean? Like, no reason to mess. Hey, smarter, not harder, right? It's like sometimes you can go ahead and throw the playbook out and be like, nah, just give it to our best player and let him go. Because you mentioned Clay still hasn't really gotten off yet either. You know what I mean? And so Poole and Poole's resurgence, death, taxes, and Golden State Warriors third quarters. And that was huge, huge for them, because Poole has to be that other initiator. Yeah. They really just have him. And even though Draymond is an important cog in that, offensively, he's just so limited, like to the point where it can be difficult to kind of keep him on the court, even as good as he is defensively. And so if you have a guy like Poole that gets cooking, he goes for 17, that's a requisite for them. He has to outscore Derrick White. It looks like he's probably going to be their most consistent bench, the Celtics' consistent bench player. He has to outscore him every single night. That flipped in the first game. They lost. Flip back in the second game and they won. It's not that simple, but that's an important stat to look at.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Klay Thompson, and I guess to a certain extent, Draymond Green. Draymond still brings elite defense. I'm not sure Klay still does. It's clear that Klay is not, like, missing 2 years, the ACL and the Achilles. Man, it's not like he's 24. So, you know, he's much older. The recovery has not gotten, I don't think, all the way back. We know that closeout Klay can still be great for a game, maybe even a couple of games in a series. But they can't win with that Klay, can they?
I mean, they won last night. I think it's possible, right? Like, I think that it is a possibility that they can win without Klay being the Klay of old. I don't know, you know. It's tough because I still think that he's coming back from that injury. I don't want to look at him and think that this is a finished product, because he was a great defender. Like, he wasn't all right. Like, they were able to throw him, and because of his size, they were able to throw him on multiple positions and sometimes can hide Curry. Not that Curry is a bad defender, but if you have a better perimeter player, you don't necessarily want Curry, even though he's a He competes on every possession. I think he's an underrated defender. It was still nice to be able to throw Clay on somebody like that. And it's important to just have points of like guys that can be at a point of attack like that. Like Draymond is an incredibly important cog in their defense. I still wouldn't say that he's a point of attack defender, right? Like he's still, you know, he's limited athletically.
Yeah.
Clay is limited athletically now at the same moment. So their team defense has taken a step back a little bit. And I thought that they kind of got exploited with some of that stuff in game one. I think if they can get maybe one classic Clay performance,
yeah,
that might be enough. You know, I think this is going to go seven. Like, I think this is going to be a really, really tight series. These are two incredibly talented teams, well-coached. Defensively, they bring it on a very regular basis. Now, you're going to see some runs, right? Like, they're going to have some times where they're just going to go on runs because defensively, if you're having to – If one team starts scoring and starts rolling, they're going to be attacking in transition and then because they are so good defensively, the other team is going to have to go against their half court defense, which is a really, really difficult role to hold. So like you can't necessarily look at the final score and think, oh, this isn't a close game. That was a close game up until the third quarter. They get blown out, and by the fourth, they pretty much are waving the white flag pretty early on and start pulling guys.
And it was late third quarter before, like it went from. Like 13, I think I went out to get popcorn. I went 13. I was like, "What is that? 24? How did that happen?" So yes, it was a very competitive game, and it could have gone either way midway through. And all I was thinking was, "Hey man, didn't Golden State have a big lead in the in the third quarter in game one, and it went away? But they weren't giving up a 20 some odd point lead in the fourth." Two very quick things for Brendan Winnett at HU Cosell on Twitter. The first is, what did you think about not giving a double tech in the Grant Williams? Was it Jaylen Brown, Draymond Green, with Green already having a tech that would have meant an ejection? And was Grant Williams? Was he just trying to get Draymond ejected in the second half?
I'll ask the second one first. Yes. 100%. He was being antagonistic. Yes. But Draymond came out with that kind of like chippiness that like just I'm just going to be annoying. Mm-hmm. Right? Like more so than just the defense. It was also I'm going to be more physical with you. Because that was also a thing that the Celtics were. The Celtics were the more physical team. In terms of the double tech, I hate double techs. They're a complete waste of everybody's time. If somebody's at fault, one person or the other. You giving out two texts like this is like grade school, like you were bad, but you were bad too. No. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong. Otherwise, let's play. Like let's get this thing going. We don't need to go to review for everything.
I'm with you.
We don't need double take. Like, no, man, let's play. Like,
there wasn't anything there either.
There was nothing there. Like this is the NBA finals.
Cut.
Like, yeah, people are a little bit chippy, bro. Like, yeah, there are a lot of things on the line. I'm gonna have a little bit of spice to me. Let me cook. Like this is what we came for. Ain't nobody coming to see referees doing nothing. Like let's let them hash it out on the court. It was as you mentioned, no punches were thrown, no big.
Gosh, it was nothing.
And I
appreciate. I thought taking away the tech from Jordan Poole earlier in the game, I thought that was the right thing too. There wasn't anything there, like certainly not worthy of a technical foul. Final thing has nothing to do with the NBA Finals.
Okay.
It ain't gonna happen for the Charlotte Hornets. But how good a coach is Quinn Snyder?
I think he's really good. It fell apart so awkwardly for Utah. I think some of it was some salary cap stuff that they, how much they wanted to pay into luxury and even like their two stars, their two stalwart players, that relationship seemed like it soured, you know, according to a lot of reports. And so it fell apart so awkwardly, but I thought that they did a good job. I thought they were a really good regular season team. Right. Mm-hmm. I think in the playoffs, you get exposed a little bit. And this is with having one of the best performances that we've seen in terms of Donovan Mitchell in the postseason, really for his career, but definitely in the bubble.
Oh, yeah.
But it felt like they were a piece away, two pieces away. Trying to center your team around Rudy Gobert. I'm interested to see how that works. I think maybe he needs to be like a piece and not necessarily a linchpin because he's incredibly important defensively, offensively. He can certainly hurt you, and even defensively, people have tried to like space him out. I think he does a better job on the perimeter than he's given credit for. But it's tough to build around that team. I think it feels obvious that the writing's on the wall that it's getting blown up.
It probably will. in my opinion, Snyder is a really good coach, but that team had no chance to advance because one of their stars is a zero offensively.
Yeah,
and you you can't be that. This is my argument with Ben Simmons. You can't be non-threatening offensively, and Simmons is a way better offensive threat than Rudy Gobert. So ultimately, Utah.
Worse for Draymond though. Like you can be
Players, yeah. Right? Draymond is a key piece of that team, but it has nothing to do with the offensive end. It has everything to do with leadership, and obviously what he does on defense. All right, Brendan Witter, we'll talk to you later on in the week, man.
Absolutely. Look forward to it.
Absolutely. At HU Cosell on Twitter. You know what? We're going to do the hockey stuff a little bit later on. We had I wanted to get to the NHL here, but we're going to do we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with Will Brinson on the other side, and then we've got the NHL. We are about to eliminate one team, and if you believed the four-letter network, we were about to eliminate the other team, except that team is coming off back-to-back Stanley Cup championships.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.